The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon. He asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Let us pray. Holy God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. Amen. Why do we work? Well, one reason is to make money, to be able to buy the things that we need to survive. But that's not the only reason that we work. We also work because it can be therapeutic. Work can be a welcome distraction from the worries of life. When you work, you can get into the zone or feel a sense of flow where time slips by quickly. And there can be immense satisfaction having seen the results of your work. What if God's intention for work in your life is not to burden you, but to give you something to do that engages your interests and your passions, your whole self? What if work isn't something you have to do, but something you get to do? At least that's what I tell my kids when it's time to take out the trash. As Lutheran Christians, you believe that you are saved by grace through faith and not by works. Your eternal life, salvation, and forgiveness are all gifts from God that you have not nor cannot earn. If you believe this, that you are saved by grace, then you know that you don't have to work for your salvation. Your salvation doesn't depend on you. It depends on God. Consider Simon. Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, also known as the Sea of Galilee. By the way, whenever you read about the Sea of Galilee in the Bible, remember it's not a sea. It's a freshwater lake. Unlike the Dead Sea, which is an inbound sea that was full of salt. The crowd was so eager to learn and be close to Jesus that unfortunately they were crowding into him, literally pushing him into the water.
So he asks Peter to take him in his boat a little ways out to create a buffer zone between him and the crowd. And there Jesus taught the people. When Jesus was done speaking, but it doesn't say he was done teaching, he asked Simon to take him out into the deep water. Simon questions him a little bit, as we know Simon is prone to do. He tells Jesus that they have been working all night and have caught no fish. Yet Peter obeys him anyway. I wonder why. Well, according to Luke, this isn't the first time that they've met. Recently, Jesus was preaching in the local synagogue, and after he left, he went and he healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law. Forgive me if I go between saying Simon and Peter. It's the same person. So Jesus had just healed Simon's mother-in-law, so he had some credibility with him. He may not have been respected as a qualified fishing person. Simon maybe even thought this guy doesn't know anything about fishing. But since he was able to heal his mother-in-law miraculously, Simon gives him the benefit of the doubt. So they go out to the deep water, and what happens next? They get the biggest catch ever. So many fish that the nets are ripping apart. So presumably Simon's brother, Andrew, is with him in the boat, signal to their partners, James and John, who quickly get out there and help with the catch. Even so, there's so many fish that when they load the two boats almost sink because of so many fish. So what's the point of the story? What's the lesson that Jesus was teaching very personally to Simon, Andrew, James, and John? Well, it's nothing less than the gospel itself. The gospel that you are saved by grace through faith and not by works. You see, Simon had made the classic human mistake of putting faith in himself rather than God. He had already worked all night long and caught no fish. He hesitated to fish anymore because he had already done so much work. In his mind, Simon believed that if you work hard and if you put your mind to it, you will succeed. You will be a successful fisherman. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. That's the message that our world, our society, our culture gives us all the time. We swim in that message as if we were fish. The water that we swim in is a water of works righteousness that tells us that if you just work hard enough, you will succeed. You'll lift yourself up by your bootstraps. You'll get yourself out of generations of grinding poverty. Knowing what was going on historically helps us appreciate this parable, this story even more. We know that Emperor Tiberius had his eye on the Sea of Galilee as a source of food and market expansion for the Roman Empire. We know this because he built a city on the shore of the Lake Gennesaret, Sea of Galilee, and gave it his own name, Tiberius. And at this city, merchants would purchase fish and take that fish throughout the Roman Empire. This was an opportunity for local Galilean fishers. Finally, they could sell their fish not just to the local neighbors, but they could potentially sell their fish all over the world. So the sky was the limit. And people like Simon Peter saw their opportunity to lift themselves out of generation after generation of just barely getting by and finally be able to live comfortably. And yet, like so many ambitious dreams, things were not materializing. There were scads of new fishing operations on the lake. Word had spread, and competition was so fierce that the price of the fish wasn't going up at all. And with that many more people fishing in the lake, it was that much harder to catch fish. So Simon goes out over the deep water like we know. He casts his nets and he has this huge, dangerous haul. So the moral of the story is this. You need a whole lot more than hard work to catch fish. Hard work isn't enough. You need there to be a lot of fish. That's called grace. You might be the greatest fisher in the world, but there has to be fish. Without grace, you can't do anything. You're dead in the water. God made the fish, so even fishing is a result of God's grace. That's the thing about work. Do we have to work? Yes, of course we do. It's an essential part of being human. Even breathing is work. But if God doesn't give us air to breathe, then it doesn't matter how hard we work. You can't just stop working. But when we are aware that we are totally dependent on God's grace, it helps us to be more humble about our work. We are called to work humbly, understanding, having faith that our own work isn't what's going to save us, but only God's grace, God's providence, providing fish, providing air, providing opportunity. And there's a couple things we can do to have our work be more faithful, to be more centered on God. And Peter gets one of these right. That's the thing about Simon Peter. Sometimes he gets it wrong and sometimes he gets it right. The whole point is that we should be able to relate to Simon. He's a relatable guy that each of us humans can see ourselves in some way. So what was Simon Peter doing right? Well, it's this little detail at the beginning of the reading. When Jesus is there getting pushed into the water by the crowd, he looks over and he sees Simon and the others. What were they doing to their nets? Do you remember? They weren't fishing yet. They were cleaning their nets. They were mending their nets, it says in other places in the Bible. Why would you have to clean your net? I mean, it's dragged through the water all day. Why does it need to be cleaned? But if you think about it a little bit, yeah, it's going to pick up plant matter. It's going to pick up litter. There probably was litter back then. And so the nets needed to be cared for. They needed to be cleaned. They needed to be mending. So we as faithful Christians that recognize everything that we have depends on God's grace, one of the ways that we can be humble is to take time after we work to clean up after ourselves. Cleaning up after ourselves is a great way to reflect on the humility of our work and our dependence on God's grace. When I was in high school, our little Lutheran church, Christ Lutheran in Sedona, did a fundraiser for the youth to be able to go to the youth gathering. And the way we did this fundraiser is it was an auction where we would volunteer jobs that we could do, and that would be auctioned off, and the money would go to pay for our youth activities. My friend and I volunteered to wash windows. We will wash your windows of your house inside and out. And it went up for auction, and the price went pretty high, and the highest bidder was the pastor. The pastor did the highest bid for my friend and I. So there we went to go wash the windows of the pastor's house on a Saturday. And so we had our gear. We had ladders and buckets and squeegees and a patented mixture of ammonia and soap and water that I can't disclose to you, but it works very well. And we washed windows all day. And by the end of the day, this delicious aroma started coming out of the house. And Pastor Bob's wife, Jan, was cooking. And she came out and she said, "Now when you boys are done, you can come inside and have something to eat." We're talking about two teenage boys here. So yeah, we were going to eat. When the last window was washed, squeegeed, get the corner with the rag, looks crystal clear. My friend dropped his tools and started walking into the house, ready to eat. And I was there by the tools, and Pastor Bob was outside supervising us with his hands in his pockets. And I said, "Hey, the job's not done yet. We've got to put away and clean up all of the tools." And when I said this, my friend rolled his eyes at me and kind of crumpled in the spot. And Pastor Bob laughed, as he was known to do. It was more of a guffaw. "Ha, ha, ha." He said, "I've heard that before. I think you learned that from your dad." Because my dad actually built Pastor Bob's house. And yeah, that was how I was raised. The job's not done until you clean up after yourself. When we clean up after ourselves, it gives us time to reflect how blessed we are to be able to work, how blessed we are to have tools to care for them. It keeps us humble and realizing it's not just about the outcome. It's not just about the outcome. It's about taking time to put things away and to give thanks for God's grace. Simon and his friends, they were cleaning their nets, showing us that important discipline. So that's one of the things we can do to stay humble in our work. But then there's another thing. And this is the invitation that Jesus gave to Simon at the very end. Simon is down there at Jesus' feet. He's overcome. He's saying, "Lord, I am not worthy of you." You can see he's hung up on works righteousness. "I don't deserve this. I'm a sinner." All that's true. You don't. We don't deserve all of God's goodness, and yet God gives it to us anyway. And then Jesus says, "Simon, I have something to tell you. Don't worry. From now on, you are going to fish for people." Now, when he says to Simon Peter, "Don't worry," he's not saying to him, "Hey, don't worry, you don't have to fish anymore." It's just the opposite. Simon was good at fishing, despite his night of unproductivity. I think what Jesus was really saying to Simon, if we were to paraphrase it, he's saying, "Look, Simon, don't freak out at what I'm about to tell you, but you're having a major career change." I mean, people who like to fish, people that like to sit in a boat all day alone with maybe one other person, are these the kind of personalities that go into the people business? No. I mean, most of the time we go fishing to get away from people, at least recreationally. Was Simon antisocial? I used to think antisocial meant shy. I used to think antisocial meant reserved. But as I've grown older and I've learned more, you know, read a bit of psychology as you have to do as a pastor, I realized that the proper definition of antisocial is more like psychopath. Someone who's antisocial is someone who actually is very smooth with people. They're very good at telling people what they want to hear. Meanwhile, they manipulate them to get what they want, and they don't have a conscience. So was Peter antisocial? No. Peter was not antisocial. He was rough around the edges. He was shy. He was, if anything, maybe a little fearful of people. Fearful because he'd run into antisocial people, as undoubtedly we all have at times in our lives. And I know that sometimes in our lives we can grow weary of people. If you've ever been burned, if you've ever been lied to, if you've ever had someone break confidence and undermine your trust, we can be tempted to think that people are bad. It's tempting to think that people aren't worth it. It's tempting to isolate sometimes, especially if you've been in a profession where you've seen the worst side of people. But you know, Jesus isn't telling Simon Peter to have faith in people. That's not what he's asking. And that's not what I'm asking you to either. The call to go fish for people is an act of humility to realize that no matter how good you are at something, you can't do it alone. You need people to cooperate with to succeed in life. And in fact, Jesus is saying, read the writing on the wall. There's so many fishers in this lake now that this is not going to be the way that you're going to live well. The way that you're going to be able to provide for your family and live well is to join me as we go from synagogue to synagogue and we build a movement. We live into the kingdom of God. We help people to share and care for one another. We heal the sick. We will lift people from all of their anxieties, and we will be the people of God who lives together. No, Jesus isn't calling us to have faith in people or faith in our work. Jesus is calling us to have faith in His grace. A grace that makes fish, a grace that makes air to breathe and forests to grow, that sends rain on dry land, and a grace that can even change hearts and minds and souls to be the people of God. Amen.